of home were burning brightly when I left so long ago.
You're listening to Can't Do Nothing With Love, an award-winning short story collection written and read by Ellen Morris Pruitt. Today's episode features A Trip to the Lawyer. When I arrive at the lawyer's, I set Kibbles the Frog on the conference room table. Kibbles the Frog is my familiar, so named because when we met, he was in the process of being eaten by a snake. The jaws of the snake were unhinged. Kibbles was sitting in the flat of the snake's mouth, not moving a muscle. I plucked him from danger, and now he lives in my dorm room in a mason jar with air holes punched in the lid. The frog is my sword and shield against the uncertain future. No one, not even a naked and alert frog, can protect you against the past. My mother gives Kibbles the once-over. She's seated next to Daddy, so she can slap him on the hand if he says something wrong. In their wedding picture, the two of them are smiling, so happy. Now they're always at each other. Why is that? Why do snakes try to eat frogs? It's just one of those questions that can't be answered. I kiss Big Mama on her papery cheek. Her shirt is covered in paint splotches. My grandmother has become a famous painter making gobs of money. She paints the wild bumblebees, a Native American dance ensemble from Biloxi. She paints them in theory, which means they have naked booties. She has become quite the celeb. What are you wearing? She asks about the green garbage bag I'm using as a raincoat. Then, who's in the jar? So I tell her about Kibbles. At first, I thought it was some sort of skank with an incredibly long tail. Then I realized, oh my God, it's a snake eating a frog. I took my car key, it's big and flat, and wedged the key in the back of the snake's mouth. Then I sort of scooped Kibbles out. He hopped right into my palm. And this happened when? This from the lawyer, whose voice is hot and thick like lava pouring down the side of a volcano. He's much younger and cuter, too, than you'd expect from a lawyer. Yesterday afternoon, I say, as Daddy starts telling the lawyer a story, because the lawyer's African-American, about when Daddy was growing up and Rankin County was more rural than it is today, he'd go frog gigging with a black fella lived down the road. That fella could gig a frog at 20 paces. This is not a story that I, the lawyer, or Kibbles need to hear, but Mother is staring out the window and misses the opportunity to slap Daddy's hand. In the dead space that follows, I ask, what are we here for? I'm worried the answer is me. My family does not trust me with money. Blame it on the panty pyramid scheme I devised. 10 days, 200 panties. No one ever said the panties would all be size 16 and dishwater gray. The lawyer uncrosses his legs, recrosses them, like what I've asked requires a careful response. We are here to discuss your grandmother's will. This confuses me because Big Mama isn't dead. I glance at her and she gives a quick shake of her head, like she knows what I'm thinking. Ow, ow, ow! I jump from my seat. Something is stinging the ever-loving fire out of me. I shoot my hand underneath the garbage bag. Then I realize where the problem lies. A safety pin. A girl who wears size 4 panties cannot wear size 16 panties without a few strategically placed safety pins. One of the pins has come undone and, ow! I pull it from my thigh. Everyone is staring at me, and I'm beginning my explanation about the panty pyramid scheme, but the lawyer is looking like he was just waiting for me to start talking about my underwear, so I let it lie. The lawyer slides an ashtray my way. I close the safety pin, deposit it in the tray. With the loosening up down there, I feel like I'm wearing pantaloons. This is what I'm thinking while the lawyer is explaining my future. Your grandmother's assets would be put into a trust with her as the income beneficiary. When she dies, the assets will pass to you, Virginia. The lawyer points at me. I turn to Big Mama. It upsets me, this talk of her death like it's actually going to happen. Why are you telling me this? I don't want to know what happens after you die. Because your father, she swings around to Daddy, will not like this. No, you won't, Edgar, she says when Daddy opens his mouth and gapes like a fish. You will blame this girl for my decision. If I leave the money to you, you'll give it to those oafs you sired, and those boys can take care of themselves. Virginia needs some provision for her future. Now this sets me back, Big Mama thinking my four brothers, who so far have not been able to find their way out of a paper bag, are more competent than I am. The lawyer has been sitting quiet through all of this as if he expected just such a hoo-ha when Big Mama bleats. I'm getting married. Getting married? Mother glances at the door like she might make a run for it. To Samford, the big chief of the wild bumblebees. An Indian? Daddy honks. You're marrying an Indian? I whistle. Now that's impressive. But Daddy's sputtering and Mama's lecturing Big Mama on how old people can't just be marrying willy-nilly. The lawyer is cool as a cucumber, which bugs me. I tell him as much, which causes him to level those bedroom eyes at me. No offense, Mint. I'm enjoying this. It's a trip. So, we're a trip to the lawyer. Isn't that just peachy? Where's the ladies, I ask. I need to get away from him and them and all of this. In the outer lobby of the ladies, I lie down. I think better when I'm looking at a ceiling, even a boring ceiling like the one in the lawyer's ladies. The rain has finally found itself and pounds the roof. What I'm thinking is, who will take care of the rest of my family? I realize my opposition to Big Mama's plan has a cut-off-your-nose-to-spite-your-face quality, but I'm comfortable with that. Sometimes doing the right thing puts you in a position of conflict of interest with yourself. The bathroom door creaks open. The lawyer pokes his head around the door jamb. Thought I'd find you hiding in here. He looks so handsome, standing there in his suit, it makes me feel foolish lying on the floor of his ladies. I pull myself up so I'm sitting back against the wall. I can't figure it out, I confess, because underneath it all, he seems like a sympathetic lawyer. You don't like developments. He takes a seat beside me, knees bent. How'd you know? Well, most everyone in the world would be thrilled to learn they're about to be rich. So I figured you'd be bummed out. He nudges me with his shoulder. Your grandmother told me all about you. She didn't tell me anything about you. So what do you think? I don't know if he's asking what I think about him or about recent developments, but I tell him the truth. I'm worried about my brothers. We can do something for them if you want. He studies me. Your frog doesn't look so good. Kibbles, he has a bad leg where the snake bit him is all. Listen, I don't like to tell you this, but that poison's been released in his system. It may take a while, but the damage is done. Tears spring to my eyes. It's just too much. Big Mama's gonna die. I will. Everything I've ever known in my life will get swallowed up, and there's nothing I can do about it. I shield my crying eyes with the palm of my hand. Hey now, he pats me on the back, tries to peer around my hand. You don't have to be afraid of the future. It's just change. It's natural. Great. I sniffle and wipe my nose with the back of my garbage bag, which is the most ineffective hanky I've ever used. He seems ready to say something more interesting when Mother pokes her head in the door. Need to get this show on the road, she snaps, and retreats. The lawyer and I rise slowly, except he's sitting on the tail of my garbage bag, so I stumble when I try to stand. This tickles me. Let go of my dress, mister. I jerk the garbage bag, which catches on a safety pin and rips, exposing my bare legs beneath my too skimpy skirt, which is why I've been wearing the garbage bag all along. One doesn't wear a too skimpy skirt to the lawyer's office. Oh, foodle! I slap my palm over my mouth. The lawyer smiles with those bedroom eyes, then gently removes my hand and asks, "You seeing someone?" I was. Not anymore. Nope. You mind? He searches my eyes for consent, then gives me a slow, hot kiss. No flies on that one. I try a kiss of my own. It works. After a moment of gathering happiness, we shake ourselves apart and slip out of the ladies. We float into the conference room, fingertips touching, which causes Big Mama to hoot and Mother to cast a disparaging look upon my new love and my ripped garbage bag. Men, she says, disgusted. What? Daddy asks. Mother nods curtly at me and the lawyer. The lawyer takes one step to the right, but it's too late. Oh, my Lord! Daddy turns on Big Mama. This is all your fault, you and your Indians. Of all things, this finally causes Mother to slap Daddy's hand. You've got a moral flaw, Edgar, Big Mama declares. Runs clear down your spine, clips your brain in two. I gently lift Kibbles from the table. Even to my untrained eye, he doesn't look good. He blinks, slow and full of meaning. The lawyer shakes his head. Never should have tried to rescue him in the first place. Should have let nature take its course. I will do what I have to do to save what I love. It's a frog. It's Kibbles. Snake snack. I give him a cold look. Are we going to get along or not? He gives me a half smile, relaxes those bedroom eyes. Yeah, we are. I got an idea for your frog. He points a thumb in the direction of the window. Outside, the sky has cleared. In the bright sunlight, a black and white sign gleams. Billy Bob's Upholstery and Taxidermy. I look at the lawyer. He looks at me. We both look at the frog in his jar. Frog isn't meant to last forever, the lawyer says. High concept, I say. Kibbles, sucking air, never blinks. Thanks for listening. A Trip to the Lawyer first appeared in print in Red Hot Chick Lit Review. To contribute to Common Ground, a program of the YWCA devoted to conversations on race, communities in action, please follow the link at can'tdonothingwithlove.wordpress.com or visit commonground.memphis.org. Message me on Facebook at Can't Do Nothing With Love. Our music, The Lights of Home, was written and sung by Mr. Rob Pate. Rock on, Rob.
Oh, he's the light of home. Thank you. Thank you very much.